My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast.
When I sold my agencies, actually, is one of the things that I wanted to do is say that I wouldn't be tied to an office ever again. Walk the walk and talk the talk, not just, you know, be sat in a lit office.
So what's the actual scene like in London right now as far as biohacking is concerned? Is it popular that the UK is kind of catching up to the US, ahead of the US, or what's the scene actually like over there?
Keep my food intake in and my daily training and stretching and everything together pretty solidly. Otherwise, I shrink back down quite quickly.
Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show.
All right, folks, clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor. All right, folks, on today's show, I have a guy who is known, and I have no clue what this means, as the UK's leading biohacker. I also know him as the founder of this thing called the Health Optimization Summit, which is going to happen in London, actually. My guest name is Tim Gray. Tim, when is the biohacking or health optimization summit thing happening in London? What's the dates for that?
28th, 29th of May.
Okay.
This year.
How come you weirdos spell optimization with an S instead of a Z?
How many people ask me this? Because we're awkward Brits.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I'll let you get away with the S as long as I can tell British dentistry jokes. Right? Isn't that the stereotype for Brits? You got to tell dentistry or tooth jokes.
Yeah. Or get us to wait in a queue.
Yeah, exactly, in a queue. So anyways, rather than a line, I know that, Tim, you've founded and invested in multiple six-figure businesses, digital marketing agencies. You got one of London's first hyperbaric oxygen clinics, and you're well known for detailed tracking of, like, you know, a few dozen different biomarkers per day. You're pretty prolific in the whole biohacking scene. We'll talk later on about this crazy summit that you've put together. I'm planning on making my way over there myself, actually. So if people want to go check out the Health Optimization Summit, what I'll do is I'll give you a big old fat discount code if you want to attend and you want to go hang out in London, and we'll talk more about what to expect over there. But like Tim mentioned, that's going to be May 28th and 29th. So I'll link to that and everything else that Tim and I talk about if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/TimGray. That's spelled with an A, not an E, because, you know, he's British. Tim Gray. So, Tim, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think we've actually podcasted before, have we? Like, I'm having this deja vu, but I really don't think we have.
No, we hung out a few times, but yeah, never done a podcast.
Yeah, for sure. We've run into each other at random biohacking events where I think people think all we do is lay around on the floor doing coffee enemas and shoving laser lights up our nose. So tell me about what got you into this whole biohacking scene, because I don't think that this has been like your track forever.
I mean, around 2010, I kind of got ill. Like a lot of people that get into the biohacking space, I think it's through a place of need, realizing that the doctors don't quite help them as they would hope they could. And I started initially just with like things like bloating, and started getting food intolerances and brain fog. And
just like out of the blue?
Yeah. It's like one day I ate pasta because I thought that was healthy. Met way back when.
Me too. And, I used to shove down boatloads of that stuff to get ready for my triathlons. You know, I have the pasta feed parties. By the way, this health crisis that you started having, what were you doing at the time when that happened? Like for a job?
I was running a marketing agency. I was doing, you know, 16-18 hour days. I was waking up, shoving any old food in my mouth, not eating anything decent during the day, eating and then jumping straight into bed again, you know, wash, rinse and repeat 6 days a week. And on the other night, I'll go out and get absolutely wasted because, you know, that's what people that stress do, supposedly. and thus, you know, the perfect storm. And I went traveling to Bali and I was there for about a month. And on the way back, I got a kidney stone stuck in one of my ureters, which was evil, beyond evil. I was in hospital for several days. And at the end of it, they just said, well, we don't know why people get them, but, you know, you just will. You have to put up with it for life. And, you know, I was walking around stressed for a whole year, worrying about having another one stuck and whether or not I could go out without having to take some drugs with me, painkillers just in case. And then I started getting urinary tract infections, you know, at least once a week, and taking more and more antibiotics, which made my bloating even worse. And then I started getting chronic fatigue and all sorts of things. And it started spiraling out of control. Yeah, it got really, really bad, really, really bad. And I was in and out of the doctors. I got to know the receptionist by first name basis as a result. And 1 week I was in the doctors every day in 1 week. And it's just like, I said to the doctor at the end of it, like, what's wrong with me? He shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know. Can't find anything wrong. Well, the tests were coming back fine. Everything was good. But in fact, you know, I was absolutely screwed. So my mum actually drove me home because I wasn't able to drive. I was so ill. And I started Googling. And like a marketing strategy or a business solution I was trying to do, I'd grab the post-it notes, slap them across the wall of all the different symptoms and things I had, and started researching one by one strategically to figure out what was going on. You know, fast forward 3 years of working on loads of stuff, and then I heard about Bulletproof Coffee, and
the entry level into biohacking for like half the world's population.
For sure. Yeah, and then I realized that there's a load of crazy fools out there like me that was popping supplements or trying loads of different things to try and optimize their performance and get better brain fog, kind of went from there, really. One of the things that I stumbled across that was, you know, a game changer for me was hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is why I opened a clinic. And it was so expensive, so hard to get hold of in the UK without traveling outside of London for some reason. I found that, you know, it works so well for my energy and my mental clarity. I'd in fact sit in the chamber and work for hours on end because it's just so good.
Well, what was if the hyperbaric oxygen helped you so much, do you know what was actually wrong with you? Was it more of a brain issue that was manifesting in gut brain axis symptoms? And so oxygenation of the brain was helping, or was it, what was it?
Yes and no. It turned out I actually had mercury poisoning because I had previously a mouthful of metal, and I'd been addicted to tuna and salmon sushi for years, thinking it was healthy all the time. And my levels of mercury were so high, it was causing, you know, mitochondrial dysfunction left and right. And also, I was a chronic mouth breather, not a nose breather. I didn't exercise enough because I was, you know, working around the clock. It's just, you know, the perfect storm. And oxygenation wasn't something that I was particularly good at, although we should be as humans. And for me, hyperbaric, it was literally a light bulb. It was night or day.
It doesn't really make sense at first glance why you would want to be in pressurized oxygen with a greater concentration of oxygen, like in an HPOT chamber, for something like heavy metals. Like, it's tough to draw the link, but I know that that's one thing that Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt recommends is the use of HPOC as a way to detox heavy metals. And I believe it's just due to the increased metabolism that occurs from a cellular standpoint. So if you've had, say, like a binder that you've taken, like charcoal or a GI binder or cilantro or something like that, it may actually help to rid the body of mercury and heavy metals just by speeding up the process. I suppose probably you could also do some damage if you didn't have binders in your system and you're just taking a bunch of stuff to upregulate your, you know, like your phase 0 through 4 liver detox pathways. You'd probably just kind of like be moving metals around in your body inside a hyperbaric chamber, which could, you know, that's that classic Mad Hatter syndrome that some people get when they try to detox and all the metals wind up in the brain based on the, you know, the osmotic gradient over to the brain. So yeah, that's interesting, though, that helped you out so much.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, my body started healing properly. My brain was on fire. It's just like, it felt like it was me again. So I kind of like having 3 sessions a week, hour and a half each session. And it kind of became a staple for me. But it is a plaster, though, as you know, with a lot of these biohacks. You know, what is it reversing? Why do you need it and someone else doesn't? You know, you can constantly keep on having this plaster when you're chronically ill and figuring out the root cause and getting to that. But in the meantime, hyperbaric worked really well for me. Now I just do it once a week or something or other when I want to chill.
Yeah. So you basically started a hyperbaric clinic where you could essentially profit from people paying a certain fee to come in and use the chambers for a certain period of time.
Yeah. I mean, I did it just because I needed a clinic nearby. Actually, I didn't do it for the money. My companies were quite successful. I didn't need the money. I just thought a clinic nearby would be nice. I can jump in it and it will cover the costs. But it turned out to be, you know, a really good venture. It was the first private clinic in London like it. Now there's about 8 or 9 of them popped up.
Do you still have that clinic?
I exited about 4 years ago now, 3-4 years ago. But it served me well. It served me very well.
Okay, gotcha. So now are you just like full on just doing this health optimization with an S summit?
Yes. I sold up my agencies just because, you know, it wasn't me anymore. The team drank Coca-Cola, ate birthday cakes, you know, drank, smoke, everything. And for me as a biohacker that I want to be optimal, that's not really the environment I want to be in. So I decided to sell up and focus on the summit full time, which I did back in 2018.
So, although it would be cool to also be a biohacker, have your cake and eat it too. You get enough dihydroberberine and bitter melon and cold thermogenesis in your system, and maybe you can get away with it. But that actually leads me to something I wanted to ask you. You know, like you're known as a pretty prolific biohacker, and you know, like I mentioned, as UK's leading biohacker. So I actually love when I get somebody like that on my show to actually kind of get a sneak peek into what your life looks like what a typical day in your life would look like. And obviously this might rabbit hole a little bit, I might interrupt you, but could you walk me through kind of like your typical day as far as some of the sexy stuff that you're doing? And I don't want to hear about exercise and eating healthy, screw that. I want to hear about all the sexy biohacks. No, I'm just kidding. Just throw it all in there. I want to hear about Tim's day.
Yeah, well, it starts from the moment I wake up, obviously. If I'm thinking chronologically, it's opening the curtains, getting fresh, clean light and air in the room, and light into my eyes, because obviously resetting the circadian rhythm on a daily basis, making sure you haven't got, you know, phone junk light in your eyes immediately, which is where most people go wrong, I think.
Yeah, like just too much blue light in the absence of the infrared spectrum when they first get up looking at the screen. Although we've established that you're lazy now if you're opening your shades and there's already sunlight.
Well, it depends. It depends on the time of year and where you are. I travel, you know, six 9 months of the year. So I like to keep it consistent within my sleep and waking hours. But yeah, it does change contextually. But yeah, you know, I have blackout blinds to make sure that I get enough sleep and the right sleep. But I try to reset accordingly. So fresh air, sunlight into the eyes, hydrate, always with, you know, reverse osmosis, remineralized water, usually with, you know, hypertonic or something like that added to it or in my mouth, which is great. So it's very, very simple things. I mean, like one of the things that I like to really focus on is that, you know, obviously getting the fundamentals right, because it's what a lot of people seem to miss, and people don't realize the power of breathing through your nose, or, you know, ensuring that you're sleeping the right amount of time, as I'm sure many of your listeners are really used to now, but the common, you know, the general public aren't really aware of this. So things as simple as having mineralized water first thing in the morning to support your detoxification and your energy production, support your adrenals on waking, is super important. Whereas I think many people just jump up and have their bulletproof coffee or bulletproof style coffee immediately on waking without actually getting any water into them first, which is just madness.
Yeah. And I think some of it too is like the nuances of the simple stuff. Like, yeah, you're supposed to get light in the morning, but that doesn't mean necessarily, as you've alluded to, flipping on the lights in your house. Yeah. Maybe if you've got, you know, like this is in my bedroom, my bathroom, it's all red incandescent bulbs. So yeah, I do flip on my lights first thing when I get up, but that's literally to simulate sunrise, because that's the form of lighting I've chosen for my bedroom. Same thing, my phone from the night before is still in red light mode, right? Using the color filter option on the iOS app. And then I typically put on the red set of blue light blockers in the morning. So like for the first hour or so that I'm wandering around just doing all my shit, like I am mostly under red light. And then like an hour after I get up, that's when I'll like start to open the shades. I've got some blue light producing devices in my office. You know, I'll throw in the ear and the eyes blue lights, you know, like the human charger or the read time or device. But yeah, I typically go red light for about the first hour and then bright light, like blue light, sunlight from there on out. But it's these subtle nuances that I think really help people get even more benefit out of the general advice that they've heard, like get light in the morning. Well, it's red light. Or like you mentioned with your hydration, yeah, get water in the morning. But as you've alluded to, get water that is clean, that's filtered, that has like some really hypertonic minerals added to it. Like, I don't know if you're using the quinton minerals, but it's a perfect example. And maybe add some vitamin C in there for your adrenals, some baking soda to alkalize your body at the beginning of the day. And so like, these are the little additions that I think wind up paying dividends for people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the devil is in the detail. And I mean, it's quite funny. I touch on one thing. Obviously, I do red light therapy most days. Actually, I really find that it's great for me. But it's funny how many people say, I love red light therapy and I do it just before I go to bed, but they end up having sleep problems. And I find that sort of some people it really keeps them awake and some people it works for them. And I think the devil is in the detail for, you know, a lot of individuals. And I don't think they realize that there are finer details to hydrating or finer details to morning light exposure or to red light therapy and things.
You're right. The red light at night can be stimulating for a lot of people. I mean, there's some companies, you know, like Juve, who has sponsored this podcast in the past, you know, they have like an ambient mode on their red light devices where you can have it be a little less bright. Or honestly, you could like use a red light device, but put on blue light blocking glasses so you have a little less stimulus to your eyes. And so, yeah, even the use of red light at night, you do have to be a little bit careful with how much stimulus you actually get. I mean, for me in the bedroom, like I use very low wattage red incandescent bulbs. So I'm not even using like those big old flashy, you know, like the photo biomodulation panels. Like I typically will use those in the morning because I feel like they're just they are kind of stimulating, at least for me personally.
Likewise. I mean, they really do for me. That's why I love them in the morning. So yeah, so that's part of my morning routine as well, actually. But I think that probably the most important thing out of my whole daily routine, and I'm sure from part of your journey, it seems that you've been on a similar route, is that a lot of the health optimization or biohacking that you do actually comes from within, as in terms of mindset. Inner work. And so one thing that is a massive part of my morning routine now, that is probably my most sacred part, is sitting down and reflecting in silence for, you know, 10 minutes, just reflecting on anything that might have triggered me on the previous day. If there's something that's upset me, or, you know, something that I haven't reacted as stoically or, you know, as cleanly as I felt I should have done, I always sit and reflect on it and think about it from every angle that I possibly can to say, you know, what can I learn from this? What does it say about me? For instance, I'll give an example, and this is so powerful because you're like, you're self-optimizing every single day with every single thing that you might have automatically had an automatic reaction to for your whole life. But when something like this happens, you think, well, how can I be better? And an example was, I had some builders come to my house the other week. I'll be quick on this. And one of them spoke to me like, you know, I was stupid. And I almost triggered. I didn't. The next morning when I reflected, I thought, why did I almost trigger? And she was like, well, because this person spoke to me like I was stupid. Well, why would I trigger if someone speaks to me like I'm stupid? Because I'm not. It's like, exactly. Perhaps when I was younger, I used to feel stupid. So if someone called me stupid, I would feel stupid. But now I know I'm not. So there's no need for me to trigger anymore for something like that. So sitting reflecting on this on a daily basis, actually, before I set my day, it really means that I'm set up for a solid day mindset-wise, as well as all the other traditional biohacks such as hyperbaric and red light and everything else that I do on a daily basis.
I think that's a good point. You know, if you look at the four questions that you can ask as turnarounds, it's a, oh gosh, what's the book with the four questions about, is this true? How do I know this to be true? Do you remember the process I'm alluding to. It's Byron Katie. So she has this whole kind of like system that you feed frustration through, or you feed angst through, and it involves asking yourself whether or not something is true. If it's true, can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react when you believe that thought? And then what happens like if you reverse that thought? It's called The Four Questions by Byron Katie. It's a great book. But a lot of times when someone insults you like that, in some cases, what it actually is not you being annoyed that they think you're stupid. It's you being annoyed at yourself because you're thinking they're stupid. And a lot of times those things that annoy you are actually you projecting something about yourself on the other person, which is super interesting. When you were describing that, for some reason, that book by Byron Katie just came into my head. But even more importantly, perhaps this idea of quiet time, I think especially for people who are in like the high achieving self-optimization driven industry, is of utmost importance. And, you know, a couple examples that I could give related to that, Tim, would be there's an excellent business book that I read that was one of the formative books for business for me. It's called The Road Less Stupid. And the entire book is based around an entrepreneur carving out for themselves so-called thinking time and asking themselves specific questions during that thinking time with a journal, undistracted, or in my case, just because I like to move. My thinking time is when I go on a walk, but same thing, phones in airplane mode, undistracted, often with you know, nothing playing in the earbuds at all. And it's just my thinking time to solve problems. And yeah, your subconscious has its thinking time during the entire night of sleep if you program your subconscious before you go to bed. But carving out that thinking time, I think, is really, really critical. And same as you, probably one of the biggest, it's not a biohack. It's almost like the thing you do before, or more importantly than all the other hacks, is to strip it all down to pure simplicity. And for me, in addition to that walk, that is my thinking time. In the morning, I carve out 20 minutes, and that is basically just like my worship, prayer, silence, meditation, charge up the spiritual battery time. And, you know, often that involves like playing some amazing music, lighting a candle, lighting incense, sitting in silence, listening to the voice of God, then speaking to God, then asking God for things, and reading a section of scripture. And I mean, like, honestly, I could throw everything out, like, you know, the red lights and the water and the cold stuff and the laser lights and the enemas and whatever. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, like, that for me would be the most important thing if I could choose anything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it takes it back to simplicity. I mean, this is the thing. It's like the morning routine. I mean, I do have so many different things that I do, you know, from using I've got a Vitruvian form at the moment, which I absolutely love. So I use that on a daily basis. And I have my rebounder, which is next to my standing desk, which is earthed out. So I stand earthed out all day and jump on the rebounder in between calls and things and all of these things. But without the mind being in the right place, such as my affirmations and the visualizations every day, you know, I find that I'm set up so I need less biohacks. And it's the same when I'm traveling, actually. Like, for instance, I spend, you know, 6 to 9 months a year traveling. I generally follow the sun and work remotely. But I find that when I'm in somewhere like Croatia in summer, I need very few biohacks. I need very few supplements. I'm eating, you know, fresh seafood. I'm eating, I'm getting plenty of sunlight. I'm grounded all day. I don't need my grounding shoe straps or my grounding desk. It's just amazing how much easier it is when you're closer to nature. And I think this is the, you know, the commonality of with a lot of biohacks. They are mimicking nature in some form, red light therapy, or, you know, SAD lighting, or hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Day is stacked with all of these things when I'm in the city, but when I'm out of the city, it's a very different story.
So do you eat breakfast at some point during this timeline in the morning? Are you one of those, you know, freaking like OMAD crazy warrior guys?
No, I'm not like Simland. I'm not into the 1 meal a day. I need to get myself 3,000 calories a day, roughly, of good, obviously clean calories a day. So I have to have a pretty heavy breakfast. And I start with, obviously, really good bacon, eggs, raw dairy. I really like A2 dairy specifically, which works best for me. And so I have 3 meals a day, but I start from around 9 a.m. and finish at 5:30 p.m. That's my eating window, which works amazingly for me. As a result, my heart rate variability is probably 30% higher.
Yeah, so like an 8-hour-ish feeding window, and you're not one of those like smoothie, superfood, coffee, tea guys. Like you're old school, bacon, eggs, yogurt. Punish that and get on with the day.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I do have a butter coffee with some collagen thrown into it, depending on time. But it's not a staple these days. It's more of a bonus because I really enjoy the taste of it. That does find its way into my daily routine.
Do you do any like workouts or anything like that in the morning?
Yeah, I do. I have a whole stretching routine. I have working with a really, really great functional practitioner at the moment of rebalancing my body, my muscles, so that I'm more balanced, I walk straighter and things like that. Refinement. So I have stretches on that, and I have whole weights routine. I also have the Vitruvian form, as I mentioned earlier, that is in my daily routine at the moment.
Wait, what's that called?
Vitruvian form. It's a variable resistance training platform, basically. With almost bands on it. So it does eccentric, concentric, and it's all built into one unit. It's bloody amazing. If you haven't tried it out, you should get one.
Yeah, it sounds super cool. What's it called? The Vitruvian Trainer?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I'll check it out. My wife will probably flip because we need another exercise machine, like a hole in the head. I'll look it up either way. So how long does this workout take you to do?
Yeah, so I have about 20 minutes on it. It has all preset workouts and things like that. This isn't an ad, by the way. I just think it's bloody awesome. And about 20 minutes, different workout, depending on what your goal is for that day or that week. So it has a whole trainer program, and you use your iPad, and it guides you through everything. So I find that's really good. And then, obviously, I'm in the gym 2 to 3 times a week on top of that as well. Or I have a specific protocol that I'm working on at the moment. I'm typically without training and eating what my body seems to want. I sit at 59 kilos, but if I don't push myself, that is. So I'm around 74 kilos at the moment. So I need to keep my food intake in and my daily training and stretching and everything together pretty solidly. Otherwise, I shrink back down quite quickly.
Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
All right, folks. Clinical research has shown that therapeutically,
and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices. And they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits. And inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben.
I kind of run into the same thing. Like I'm a total hard gainer, you know, lean, mean, but I have to work hard to keep like muscle on my body, which I do, not too much of it, but enough for the anti-aging component and the grip strength and the mitochondrial density. And as the so-called sink for carbohydrates and glycogen, you know, I make it a point to lift at least 3 days a week. And, you know, typically to lift something other than like a, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow-esque tiny dumbbell or band, you know, I try to go heavy a few times a week. And then I throw, you know, gosh, a lot of organ meats, a lot of meat in general, a lot of components that help to keep the muscle on. I'm even using some things called bioregulator peptides right now. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but they're basically very similar to the consumption of organ meats, but basically they're really small amino acid sequences that target, like there's one for the thyroid, one for the thymus, one for the liver, one for the kidneys, one for the balls. And you just basically take this giant handful of these supplements called peptide bioregulators. Ton of research on them out of Russia, but I have been doing that for about, it's pretty new, probably like a month now, and I feel amazing when I use those things. And I feel like I am able to work out harder, longer, and recover faster. So there's definitely something to them.
Yeah, I've tried the ones out of Russia, which are the Cavison, I think it's Cavinson,
yeah,
Cavison, something like that. Peptides in Russia, which bioregulator ones, which are really quite special things.
It's Dr. Cavinson, by the way. He's the guy who's done most of the research on them. So yeah, the same guy, same general philosophy. Okay, so anyways, you've got this workout, you got your water, you got your light, you got your quiet time, your thinking time. At some point in the day, are you actually working, or because you're primarily doing this summer, is it mostly just like, you know, emails and computer type of stuff at home?
So it's a mix between meeting speakers, heading out and meeting speakers or meeting with exhibitors, but majority of it, 80% of it is working from home or, you know, working from remotely somewhere or other, just from a standing desk or on a beach, which is when I sold my agencies, actually, is one of the things that I wanted to do is say that I wouldn't be tied to an office ever again. I really wanted to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk, not just, you know, be sat in a bit office for half of my life and dream about, you know, being in nature and having to use biohacking to reverse everything that I was, you know, all the damage I was creating. So yeah, I'm very, very lucky to be able to work from just pretty much anywhere except for the, you know, the last 6 weeks before the event every year.
And in the morning, by the way, I should have asked you this, but with like that yogurt, eggs, bacon type of brekkie, are there any particular supplements beside those peptide bioregulators that we talked about that you think are real, real game changers, like real go-tos for you, especially for people who are interested in the pointy edge of biohacking or longevity, for example?
Yeah, it's a great question. I personally have various genetic components that I need optimizing for. So for instance, I'm one of the MTHFR guys. So I find for me, the trimethylglycine is my hero supplement of all, actually. And that's for multiple reasons, actually. I find that my heart rate variability almost doubles with trimethylglycine before bed. But if I have it in the morning, my energy is significantly better. So I stack that with B12, methylcobalamin, and folate, methylfolate as well. So I have those three together, which is really my hero product in the morning. And the other one that I really like, it's saw palmetto at the moment. I particularly like that. I find that that's good for me at the moment, just because of with my training and various other things changing, then it's caused various different things. For instance, I had a tension in the prostate area. So saw palmetto, I find to be very, very good for me. So those are really my two staples at the moment in terms of supplementation. But I was at a point where I was taking, you know, kind of 20, 30 different supplements every single day and relying on them. And it's just actually gets a bit out of control. And as I'm sure you've probably gone through this route as well, Ben, is like more doesn't necessarily equal better. It's about strategically using these things to support your goals, not necessarily just necking as many supplements as you can get in.
Yeah. And that's interesting what you say about the MTHFR gene and this stack that's been helping you out so much. For people listening, the MTHFR gene just basically codes for an enzyme that converts the folate that you would normally eat in food into the active form. It's called 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. And if you have a mutation in that gene, it affects how much folate your body's going to be able to metabolize and absorb. And in many people who have this gene, one of the things that you see is extremely high levels of what's called homocysteine. And that can cause basically, you know, symptoms such as inflammation, brain fog, etc. And trimethylglycine, it's also known as betaine. You might have seen it by that name, or TMG. That actually reduces the homocysteine. And it seems to be pretty supported that trimethylglycine also by some form of active B12, like hydroxycobalamin. And I don't know if that's the one that you're taking, Tim. And then like a really good form of magnesium. That's kind of like one of the holy trilogies for the MTHFR thing, is magnesium and TMG and active B12. And there's obviously a lot of other stuff that you can do. But for people who test and have that, yeah, that seems to help them out quite a bit, you know, along with, of course, you know, detoxing their environment and removing inflammatory foods, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good stack for that. And so in terms of like middle of the day, lunch, are you like a nap siesta guy, or do you just kind of pound through the day until that 5 o'clock meal?
Yeah, no chance of resting during the day. I love powering through. I really enjoy powering through. I find that my mind is at peak, you know, after I've had breakfast all the way through to kind of 5 or 6 o'clock. And, you know, when sun sets, the blue blockers go on, and that's when I start, you know, calming down and, you know, getting more relaxed, ready for resting in the evening. And so I found that I've always been a night owl, you know, quote unquote night owl, my whole life. And I realized that I'm just one of these super sensitive to blue light guys. So I would always be up till 2 or 3 o'clock, all the way through to when I was like 30. And after finding blue blocking glasses, I realized that in fact, no, I wasn't a night owl. I was just severely underslept and aging myself too fast as a result. And now my sleep is the other way around. It's kind of get to bed at 10:30, wake up at 6:30, something like that every day, depending on how much sleep I need based on the activity I've had for that day. So I don't sleep during the day. I just get it done, power through, and super productive with, you know, everything scheduled and organized accordingly.
Okay. So what do you do for lunch?
I really, really enjoy ribeye steak and some olive oil. I'm generally a higher fat guy and higher protein, low carb. find out that's what my body thrives on. And maybe some chicken breast with some tarragon, ginger and things stir fried in, something like that. So it's a really, really meat predominant meal actually throughout every meal. But I do use sweet potato accordingly after training on training days and things like that. But I'm one of these guys that loves the organ meats like you do, I think. And predominantly meat heavy with a lot of olive oil, coconut oil, and the usual things like that.
Yeah. And so when you get into the afternoon and everything, are you like moving and training twice a day? Do you have like a treadmill workstation or some kind of setup to stay active during the day, or how do you tackle that component?
Yeah, exactly that. Well, I have a rebounder next to my desk. I have various different foam rollers. I make sure that I go out for a walk every single day. I schedule that. I only have one workout most days, but really getting some steps in, making sure that I'm just stretching throughout the day and using the rebounder, which I think the rebounder is one of my favorite breakouts actually during my working day, because I can do that four or five times quite easily for 5 to 10 minutes ago. And I find that really, really rejuvenates me and gets my mind firing up again, especially in between calls when I've had, you know, five or six calls, one after the other, after the other.
And so that's like a mini trampoline. What's that look like for you if you use it? Like, what exactly are you doing?
So it's just literally bouncing on it, and it's for lymphatic flow and just getting, layman's terms, the juices flowing, getting the body moving. And obviously it's soft, so it's a low impact trampoline. It's I think it's by Bellicon, I think it is, and it's just like 2.5 feet across, so it's a mini trampoline. Really great little rebounder actually.
Yeah, I actually, you do use the rebounder in the morning. I actually like to combine it with breath work. Like, you gotta be super careful because obviously you're bouncing up and down and upright, so proceed at your own risk. But I will actually on one bounce do the fully in, letting go, fully in, letting go, fully in. And I'll bounce like 30 times like that. And then on the 30th bounce, just like suck all the air in, shoot it out the top of the head while I'm still bouncing, just like you'd normally do during Wim Hof. And then once I've held it up there for about 5 to 10 seconds, I'll blast it all out, hold the exhale for as long as I can. And again, like, you got to be careful. If you haven't done this before, you need to make sure you're comfortable with managing the dizziness, but it actually works pretty well and it charges me up. Holy cow. Like in the morning, but right before I do that whole like worship, meditation, prayer, journaling thing, I'll just like pump up a really good like praise and worship song or a really good motivational song and just bounce and do that breath work. And there's something about the bouncing and the breath work that just lights me up. And same thing as you do. If I've got low energy during the day, I have that trampoline right next to my office and I'll just go bounce on it or drag out in the sunshine and bounce on it and do breath work. And it sounds silly, but I mean, the thing actually freaking works. I used to laugh at all the old people on trampolines, and now I actually see a lot of benefit out of it. All right, maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know.
Me too, then. No, I think it's really, really nice. I mean, I think, you know, the sedentary lifestyle is, you know, as you know, one of the biggest killers that there are. And I think reversing that, if you're in the house, I feel like a fraud if I'm not out for whatever reason. And, you know, work is busy, especially depending on the time of year, and not actually getting moving at all and having a rebounder just to keep it simple is really beneficial. It's a very underrated. And you're right about the breath work. Practice nose breathing, and I have to force myself to do it because I've been a mouth breather my whole life. You know, I mouth tape at night, most nights as well, just to keep me on track. And when I first started rebounding, I actually had a 12-foot huge thing in my last garden, and I couldn't trampoline without mouth breathing. You know, if I was doing it, it just couldn't. And it's amazing to see how much I've trained myself over the last couple of years, because now I can consistently nose breathe while rebounding, even, you know, have my mouth taped at the same time. So it's really showing that I'm dealing with the carbon dioxide better, meaning that I'm obviously better oxygenated, and partially the reason why I don't need to use hyperbaric oxygen therapy so much these days, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that I find, of course, with the mouth tape, because I finally had a holistic dentist who I had on the show, Dr. Loud, talked me into doing it after she did some testing on me and found that I did have like a dip in blood oxygen a few times during the night and possibly a couple snoring episodes. So I decided to start doing it, but I have a beard and a mustache now, so I can't really tape, but I figured out you can use these little things. They're called like turbines. They're nose clips, or you can get those little stickers that you attach to your nose that open up the airways in your nasal passages. And that seems to just automatically kind of shift me almost like subconsciously into nasal breathing during the night. So that's what I use instead of the mouth tape, and it works pretty well. And somebody needs to come up with a mouth tape that works with men's facial hair, by the way. Business idea for somebody.
Bloody brilliant. Those nose clips are actually really good. There's actually a test I did recently so I'm having laser therapy to reverse snoring, or I have been snoring a little bit over the last over the last few months. And I went to a snoring clinic that does laser therapy to help reverse that. And they have like a 75% success rate, they were telling me. So one of the tests that they're doing is that you actually use a snore app to see how much you snore. You do that for a week. And then after you've done that for a week and you've got your baseline, you then use those nose clips to open up your sinuses and see if your snoring changes. They then know if it's a throat or a nose snore. And then they can use the laser therapy accordingly to help you. And so interestingly for me, while I do breathe much better nose breathing using the clips that you were mentioning, actually I'm more of a throat snorer, which means that the laser therapy that they do actually helps tighten up, help the throat produce more collagen and tighten it up so that you don't actually snore so much. They've got a really good success rate. Looking forward to seeing them actually next week for my laser therapy session after all this damn tracking I've been doing for the last few months.
What kind of laser is this?
I don't actually know. In all honesty, it's very similar, they were telling me, to the type of laser therapy that they use for vaginal rejuvenation. In fact, it's the same machine, just with a different setting. They're giving me the full demo of it on Wednesday.
So they're using a vagina laser on your throat?
Kind of, yeah, kind of. they're actually going to be at the summit because they've got such a good track record on snoring. I'm using them out, obviously, before they're exhibiting. But yeah, they've had such a good success rate and seen so many testimonials on it that I've invited them to come to the summit.
Interesting. And we could probably talk like for a really long time about your personal routine, but I actually did want to ask you a few questions about this summit, you know, because a lot of times these are just like, you know, expos with a handful of speakers and a few random biohacks, you know, everybody's seen before. But I'm curious, like, in terms of stuff that you think is kind of cutting edge or exciting, what have you learned as far as meeting with exhibitors about some cool new technology coming down the pipeline? Or what is it that you're most excited about from like a speaker standpoint or an experience standpoint? Just fill me in on this whole thing. Help us wrap our heads around it.
While in America, obviously, you have various conferences like PaleoFX and whatnot. In the UK and Europe, we're not really used to having something of such big size, and especially with, you know, many American or worldwide speakers in one place. So we kind of like get really, really hyped up about it. Whereas, you know, I think in America, you get a lot more used to it. So we got, obviously, 105, I think it is, exhibitors this year. You know, ranging from, you know, dry farm wines, for instance, who doesn't love dry farm wines? We've got sunlight and saunas, and actually HapBee device is going to be here this year. We've got a standing desk brand. We've got the Spermidine guys coming, which is going to be awesome. We've got photo biomodulation company. We've got called Thor, who do a really amazing red light bed. Actually, I'm not sure if you're familiar with those guys or not. And then we got Andy from Alatura coming as well with his male natural skincare.
Can you explain the Thor bed to me exactly? Because a lot of clinics in the US have that as well.
Yes, yeah, it's basically a full body. It looks like a sunbed, a lie down sunbed. And it's red light therapy. It's pretty much the most premium red light bed that you can find. They go into a lot of clinics. They've been The guy behind Thor actually is, his name is James Carroll. He's actually a speaker of ours as well. He is all about quantification and the science. It's not just, you know, here's a red light device and we hope it works. It's, he's spoken to Congress about this, about the uses of red light therapy and laser therapy. And his whole company is around photobiomodulation and the cutting edge technology. Now, the Nova Thor is the name of the actual...
The Nova Thor. So you were talking about the Nova Thor bed, and you just pick up wherever you'd like. Fill me in on the Nova Thor and how exactly that works.
Yeah, so the Nova Thor is basically the creme de la creme of, I guess, red light beds. It's a whole body red light device that looks like one of the lie down sun beds. The guys at Thor, I guess, really are into the heavy science of it. They've spoken to Congress. Red light therapy and the utilization of it in, you know, the medical setting. And it's, I guess, the creme de la creme of red light devices mainly for clinics and things like that. So instead of just having a device leaning up against the wall, which is traditional to use at home, which are great, but for a more of a clinical setting, the Nova Thor is, you know, the big boy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And do people actually buy this for their home and lay down in it at their home? Or is this something that's more like you would have at a clinic that someone would go to and visit?
It's definitely more of a clinic style thing because it's a big unit. It's as big as a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. I know people have got it at home, but it's a big and expensive unit. You know, we're talking thousands of bucks a unit, I think.
Okay, so that's one of the exhibitors that you have, but how many other people do you actually have exhibiting at this event?
Yes, yeah, so we've got 105 exhibitors. 105, yeah. We've got constant glucose monitors. We've got various different testing companies. We've got obviously Dry Farm Wines coming, and we're doing a Dry Farm Wine party on the Saturday night. God, we've even got healthy cosmetics for the girls. Really clean brand of cosmetics that I brought in from Lithuania, which is amazing. We've got urine testing at home analysis device coming as well. We've got AquaTrue reverse osmosis filters. I mean, we've got 105 brands like this. Really, it's spent. I've spent the last 3 years approaching, testing, and choosing them one by one myself for the event. So everything, wow. Everything that's here, so you know, I've used and know personally. So yeah. And then in terms of the speakers, obviously
go ahead.
Yeah. So the speakers, obviously yourself. We've got Dr. Sachin Panda and Jolene Brighton talking about female hormone optimization. We've got Patrick McGowan, Jim Quick, Vishen Lakhiani. Actually a good friend of mine, Chris Gethin. I think he might be a mutual friend of ours actually. And Diana Rogers from Sacred Cow, which I'm really looking forward to that actually, because I don't know if you've had Diana on the podcast or not before, but she talks about sustainability and supply chain and healthy, clean meats. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to having her come to London.
Yeah, there's a few devices that are there that are super interesting, like the Sensate. The Sensate is something I've actually had a chance to try out. I noticed they were going to be at the event. It's very interesting. You hang it around your neck. It's a vagal nerve stimulator that vibrates and correlates to like audio that plays for relaxation and for vagal nerve stimulation. That's one that I think is super interesting. Another one that's probably kind of in a similar category is the BrainTap, which I actually had used a few years ago and just started using it again. It's like a light sound machine that, oh my gosh, it just like almost instantly shifts you into this hypnotic-esque state. So that one's kind of cool too. And then there's a few that I'm actually unfamiliar with, like the Tau Patch. What's the Tau Patch?
Tau Patch is actually a really interesting little, I say device. It's more like stickers that you put on you, and it essentially helps concentrate light and energy into the body. It's actually a mutual friend of ours, Martin Tobias, introduced me to them. a few years ago, actually. And yeah, they've been really, really popular. Martin found it was really good for his energy and whatnot. They've been tested, I think it was with people with multiple cirrhosis, and they've got done studies behind people with Parkinson's and things like that. So yeah, it's really, really good. I think, I guess the best way to describe it would be almost like acupuncture, but using natural light therapy, I guess. And they're little stickers that you put on several places on your body.
Okay. So it's like going over, it's something that would be placed on different meridians on the body, very similar like acupuncture, but instead of using a needle, it's using more like a light therapy.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Now a couple others that I'm kind of unfamiliar with, the Mindscopic. What's the Mindscopic?
Mindscopic, a natural nootropics brand. So they have, you know, for instance, alpha GPC stacked with several mushrooms as well. They also do a 5-HTP. They call it a mood stabilizer or a mood enhancer as well, which is one of my favorites, actually. So, yeah, so the natural nootropics, really, really clean. Great guys. I mean, it's a European brand, comes from Holland, actually. We don't have such an abundance of nootropics as you guys do over there. And I think one that's similar is Neurohacker, the Qualia, which
yeah that one's super interesting. Okay, so in terms of a lot of the exhibitors, a lot of the devices there, and specifically regarding like devices in particular, is there anything that you think is just going to be kind of a total pattern interrupt for people, like something that folks have not seen before that they'll be seeing at the event, or that you've come across, you know, even for people who aren't going to be able to make it to the event, that you just think is super cool, that you're super stoked about?
My personal favorite is actually BrainTap, which you've just mentioned, which is obviously kind of like light enhancement and sound meditative, which I really like. And I think for you guys in the States, it's probably more commonplace because they've exhibited various conferences around the States. But for the UK, I think it's brilliant. I actually love stacking that when I'm in my hyperbaric chamber. So I use BrainTap while I'm in the hyperbaric, and I feel like I'm, you know, almost high. And in between the states of, you know, being awake and asleep and actually, you know, dreaming actually while I'm awake. So it's really, really a solid device, actually. So I'm really excited for them to come to London. That was a lot of work to get them here, but they're here. So that's probably my favorite.
I've experienced the same thing with the BrainTap. I use it in the hyperbaric chamber, and it's a total game changer. I mean, you put it on for 20 minutes, you feel like you've been in deep sleep for a couple of hours. The only other thing I've experienced that with is the new Calm device, but the BrainTap actually has the light stimulation in addition to the sound. And the super interesting thing that you might like is by the time you guys have your Sunday, I actually have two sessions in the BrainTap. I took my entire morning meditation routine and evening meditation routine, and we coded that session. So if people have the BrainTap and own the app, I think it's actually going to be live as soon as, like, probably by the time this podcast got, my whole like meditation routine is in the BrainTap now. So that's pretty cool. That's like a brand new development I'm pretty excited about.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to checking that one out. Awesome. I mean, the other one is Katsu, but I mean, I think again, that's one that you're very familiar with, and in the States is quite common, but for us in the UK, I mean, it's a really good device, and they're just bringing out a new version of it, I've heard.
Yeah, they actually have a pretty slick new version of that, and that's the blood flow restriction training for people who haven't yet experienced that. Katsu is kind of like the creme de la creme way to do it. Tim, tell me about the sexy little, what do people get if they do the VIP package for the event?
Yeah, so VIP is a speaker and VIP dinner on the Friday night, so you get to have dinner with, you know, likes of you and all the other speakers that are coming along. So that's a really nice fancy event on the Friday night. So you get to, we spread the dinner out, so you get to sit next to certain speakers and things like that, which is really cool. And then obviously we have a huge VIP room where you can hang out and chill and speak with speakers and try out various different devices that aren't available in the main hall as well. And so it's a really nice experience with the VIP. We got great feedback from it from our 2019 event. So we've enhanced it even more this year. The VIP dinner is going to be a very special one. So I'm really looking forward to that. So all my heroes and all my colleagues in one room at the same time. So it's bloody brilliant. So if there's ever any speakers or anyone that comes along or wants to meet, then, you know, that's the time.
Yeah. And what's the actual scene like in London right now, as far as biohacking is concerned? Is this a popular thing, or do you think that the UK is kind of catching up to the US, ahead of the US, or what's the scene actually like over there?
I think the name biohacking is bigger in the States than it is in the UK. That's just because, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily understand what it means. And I actually did a survey on Oxford Street in London to ask people if they wanted to biohack themselves. And they said less than a tenth of a percent of people even knew what it meant. But when we said, you know, do you want to optimize your health? Yeah. We got 94% of people said yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, we had 94% of people said yes to optimizing their health. 5% of people said a loved one. And 1% of people are just busy on their lunch break. The biohacking scene is actually quite big, but it's not necessarily labeled as that so much over here. We call it health optimization. We have a meetup that runs, you know, every 6-8 weeks in London. We pull 300 to 500 people every month for one of the events. So we have a very, very active scene over here, but under the label of health optimization. But biohacking is definitely growing as a label. It's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger every month. And I think that the media has been grabbing a hold of a lot as well. And in fact, you had a full time spread on a few months ago, I think, in the UK on biohacking, they called you the Alpha's Alpha, I think, from memory.
Oh, geez. Gosh, I guess that's better than being the beta's beta. Well, this whole thing looks amazing. I mean, I can't wait to just hop on a plane and come over there. You know, from what I understand, you don't have to jump through any crazy, you know, injections and treatments to come over there and do it. I'm going to be there. A whole bunch of other speakers are going to be there, like Tim alluded to. Tim's going to be there. This whole VIP experience looks just amazing. I know that you can also, I'll put a link to it if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Tim Gray, but you can also get access to a lot of the recordings and stuff from the event and from previous events. So it's all there on their website. So I'll link to that. I'll link to Tim's stuff and to everything else that we talked about. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Tim Gray, and if you have questions about any of these devices, any of your own little tips to add, feel free to leave your comments and your questions and your feedback over there. Tim, thanks for coming on, for sharing with us what UK's leading biohacker is up to, and for putting this event on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, Ben. It's awesome.
Whilst I'm a biohacker, and biohackers are known for using all of the tech and gadgets and supplements and everything, I really like to take it back to basics wherever possible, because how our ancestors lived meant that they survived and we made it to this point. So my belief is that biohacking is essentially mimicking nature by using technology to mimic nature, such as if you don't have a garden, you were using an earthing mouse pad, or if you don't have clean air, you get an air filter, or if you don't see sunrise and sunset, you have a red light therapy stack, etc., etc. So my daily routine, I will run through and explain why each of the things I have in there, but bear in mind, I try to keep it simplistic. So upon waking, I hydrate with reverse osmosis water that has hypertonic added to it. Now, the binders is chlorella specifically, which is an algae that has an affinity to metals. It also binds to household toxins, pesticides, herbicides, and mycotoxins. And because chlorella is a living organism, it binds to toxic metals but not essential minerals. I also take it when I eat seafood for this reason as well. So I start the day, the moment I wake, with water and binders. And now the Hypertonic by Kinton Labs is the perfect way to supplement minerals and trace elements at low doses. It supports your adrenals on waking, and it supports detoxification as well. Now, depending on my location and the bedroom and the natural lighting, I wear my blue blocking glasses when I wake, and I keep them on until I'm ready to roll. This ensures that I keep my circadian rhythm in check. Now, as soon as I've gone downstairs, I have my non-fat soluble supplements, such as my DAO enzyme. Now, because of a genetic disposition I have, I often have histamine issues with aged meats or whatnot, and they give me headaches or a stuffy nose. The DAO enzyme helps with that. It also ensures that my heart rate variability is high and my resting heart rate is low. I also take trimethylglycine, which is a methyl donor and assists with detoxification, energy production, and it actually helps me feel great. I rate it as my top number one supplement of all time. Now, once I've had my non-fat soluble supplements, I have my bulletproof style coffee with butter, MCT, and collagen. Now, this is breaking my fast. And I have my fat soluble supplements like astaxanthin, for instance, with it. Now, because I'm a hard gainer and I find it very, very difficult to put on weight, I have to eat a lot. I have very fast metabolism. So I'm really focused on eating as much protein as I can. And that's usually around 2 to 250 grams protein a day. So I like adding collagen and various other proteins to my foods. And this just ensures that I hit these goals each day. Next is my daily reflection. It's one of my best and favorite biohacks of all time. Now, inner work is something amazing. And as Ben and I discussed in the podcast, if you don't deal with what's going on the inside, it's very difficult to deal with what's going on the outside. So if something triggers me or confuses me or upsets me, or one of many things like this, each morning after I've had my bulletproof style coffee, I will sit down and reflect. And I call it my silence time. And that's for 10 minutes where I close my eyes and just sit in silence. And I can think through anything. But if there's something that's triggered me, I reflect and ask myself why. And now that's obvious because it's very easy to do. But when you look at it in the mindset that, why did this trigger me? What did this tell me about me? And what insecurities could it have come from? I find that I am optimizing on a daily basis and one by one tackling things that trigger me. As a result, I'm finding myself to be much calmer and much more stoic. And stoicism is part of the biohacking mindset, in my opinion. I also sit down and do my visualizations, and that is to picture things that I want to achieve in my life or states that I want to be in. And this goes on for about 5 minutes. And I also have my affirmations, which I read through every day, which takes me 7 minutes. And these affirmations are very, very powerful because I find myself changing over a period of time for the things that I wish to be. Once I finish these things, this is about half an hour in total, I do my breath work practice. And I have a device called AeroFit, no affiliate. It helps you train your lung strength and capacity. It's a little device you put in your mouth. Now, I am a proponent of nose breathing, not mouth breathing. And I mouth tape at night to make sure that I do breathe through my nose. It actually helps with my sleep significantly. But this device is for the mouth. And because you're only using it for a few minutes a day, mouth breathing in those few minutes a day isn't an issue. Anyway, this device helps you track over a period of time your progression and quantifies your breath work. So for the traditional biohacker, it's a great tool for that. Next, I jump onto my Roman chair and do my stretches. And I've recently started using a Vitruvian trainer. It's called Vitruvian Form. And it's a resistance training device that works with eccentric and concentric for weight training and stretching and rowing machine and everything all in one. It's actually really amazing. And I'm in the gym 2 to 3 times a week with a specific protocol that's been put together to help me realign my posture and for my body gains goals. And 2 times a week, depending on the day and how I'm feeling and my workload, I have a hyperbaric oxygen session. And that's for 1.5 hours, and I do that at 1.4 atmospheric pressures. This really rejuvenates me, and if I've had a tough day, mentally strained, or if I've recently had a flight, then this really picks me up before I hit the hay in the evening. During this time, I'm sitting down and reading. Now, I have a thing where I ensure that I read 20 pages every single day, because if you're not feeding your brain, you're going backwards, in my opinion. So it's really important to keep your brain alive and to exercise it as well as your body. So 20 pages a day turns into 2 books a month, something like that. Although last year I read 53 books. Then once I finished reading, I jump in front of the red light stack and often have methylene blue transcription in my mouth as well. I like to do this in the morning because it stimulates me. I find that it helps me heal. And if I have it in the evening, it affects my sleep. I find that my heart rate is slightly increased, probably about 5 beats a minute. And my heart rate variability is probably about 30% lower. I think a lot of people don't seem to realize that red light therapy can stimulate you and keep you awake or make you be a little bit more restless at night. So if you are experiencing this, or if you do use red light at night, I would recommend you trying it first thing in the morning instead. Now, 3 times a week, I also use a neti pot, and that's just with saline solution to clear my sinuses. I also add colloidal silver and 1 drop of iodine, Lugol's iodine to be specific. And this helps keep my sinuses clear and healthy, especially with current pandemic. Afterwards, I have my aminos, and I'm a big fan of aminos. It's a staple for me, just like with Ben. And it's really important for fueling your muscles, supporting your endocrine system. It aids faster recovery. It helps fire up my brain without stimulating it. It actually improves my sleep as well. And it's especially good for vegans. Often vegans don't have enough protein, necessarily bioavailable protein. And if they're fermented source aminos, then you assimilate them very, very easily and quickly. So I found vegans bouncing down the road after having them in the past. So I really recommend trying some aminos. By this point, I am working in the morning and I have a rebounder next to my desk, my standing desk, so that I'm keeping my lymphatic system flowing, which aids detoxification and keeps my brain active, actually. Now, I make sure that I practice breath work while I am on the rebounder, and I have my mouth taped so that I'm practicing nose breathing. It's very, very difficult to actually trampoline with your mouth taped because you default to breathing through your mouth often. So I've been practicing for this for a long time. My breakfast consists of things such as duck eggs, which is a big one for me because duck eggs generally have higher protein and much cleaner. They're generally not factory farmed like chickens. I have nitrate-free bacon and I take an aniracetam at the same time. Well, typically I have chicken breast with grated ginger in it. Afterwards, I have a whey protein shake with A2 protein raw milk. So I find this to be much better. A1 protein I don't do so well with. I work for an hour solidly to clear up the quick emails and quick distractions that I might have through for the day. And I have a grounding pad on my standing desk that I have my wrists on the whole time. Then I go outside and I get walking, and I try to get in 10,000 steps a day, but it really does depend on my workload. During this time, I take my shoes off and I'm walking in the grass in the park nearby. And also I have many walking meetings as well. I find that this keeps my brain active, helps me get my steps in and not being a lazy man working in the house all day. My lunch is predominantly meat these days, and it's usually a ribeye with some greens and some cheese. It's all organic, sustainable farmed meat from local farms, and usually with one veg on the side. But that's it. I find that I do much better on a predominantly meat-based diet. I also make my own sauces, things. Now, I'm very strict on my calendar, and I take calls between 2 and 5 p.m. 2 days a week. The rest of the time is for head-down work or various other things that I have going on for work. I find that calls and meetings really distract me from my day and make me much less efficient. So minimizing this and blocking out times for them really has helped. I finish work at 6:30 p.m. sharp. This means I respect my evenings and squeeze more into the day. I become significantly more productive as a result. I have my dinner just before sunset, and then as sun sets, I put my blue blocking glasses on. If I have dinner later than 6:30 p.m., then my heart rate variability is probably about 30% lower, and my resting heart rate is 10 to 12 beats higher. Now, this is based on work by Dr. Sachin Panda from the book The Circadian Code, where with rodents he gave them two sets of rodents, meals. One could eat whatever they liked throughout the whole day, 24 hours a day. And another set of rodents had the same amount of food, but limited to a 6-hour window. Now, the mice that had the food in the restricted time actually lost weight. Now, this is because apparently you produce up to 50 times less insulin after sunset, because certain genes turn off. As a result, you have higher blood sugar through the night and you're storing that as fat over a period of time. So because I like to stay lean while working on building my muscle, I don't eat after 6:30 as a result. Now, preparing for sleep means you need to prepare during the day, and that means winding down in the evening. That means not using too many devices or watching films that stimulate you or will put you into fight or flight mode, such as watching war films or films with killing. That damages your sleep significantly. I'm also, when I go to bed, I have a kill switch for the whole house. So it turns off the Wi-Fi, the wall sockets, I turn my phone off, and my sleep is 15% better consistently as a result. My aura scores are 92 to 95 daily, except for when I'm traveling and it comes down about 10 points. I also have blackout blinds and a face mask as well, because I find that I sleep much better. And if I'm sleeping much later than sunset, the blackout blinds obviously help me have the amount of sleep that I need to have. Quality sleep is amazing. Before bed, I take trimethylglycine, about 1.5 grams, which also, because of my genetic component of MTHFR gene, the trimethylglycine helps improve my heart rate variability about 20%. I always drink reverse osmosis water, and I use hypertonic throughout the day. I use digestive enzymes with ox bile to support my high fat and high protein diet, and I find that my digestion has improved significantly as a result. In the house, there's no lights on after 7 p.m. And in my bedroom and bathroom, I only have automatic red lights so that I don't mess up my circadian rhythm. And then I lock down and sleep and wash, rinse and repeat until it happens again. As you know, central to biohacking is tracking. As what you don't measure, you can't manage. Subjective score is better than no score, but devices like the Oura Ring for sleep, an AeroFit for breath work, air quality monitors for optimizing your oxygen, and the myriad of blood tests available means you can be very diagnostic and optimize far more efficiently and effectively. It also spins up your wins and confirms them. I like to collate my data into a spreadsheet, which helps me spot trends and correlations across all of the devices and all of the tests. And it starts with my daily Oura scores. If my readiness is low, I take it easy and I don't train. If my readiness score is high, I push harder. My sleep score is usually around 92 to 94 out of 100, because I assure that I check all of the variables that might affect it. If I have a day of a low score, I figure out what negatively impacted it and then flip it. Consistency is key. My key data points that I watch closest are obviously my heart rate variability, because it's one of the best predictors for overall health, my resting heart rate, my sleep score, my readiness score. I pay attention to my deep sleep and REM sleep ratios specifically and really look to optimize these as much as I can. I also monitor my carbon dioxide levels in my room overnight and also in my office. And I notice that when carbon dioxide levels are higher, my brain fog is also higher. This is something where the spreadsheet really helps me. I also track my mental clarity on a subjective level in the spreadsheet every day. And I also check my cellular metabolomics tests specifically. I also check my hormones twice a year, and my metabolic age as well. Most tests I do twice a year, but standard blood works I seem to do every 2 to 3 months now, which includes liver and kidney functions. When you combine all of this data, it really does give you a strong power to be able to optimize on all fronts. But I also do work with functional practitioners as well to ensure that I am not missing anything that a medical professional would see. That's a typical day for me. And I hope you found some interesting points in there.
All right, folks. Well, until next time, I'm Ben Greenfield. along with Tim Gray, signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week.
More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and often outside-the-box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be. And just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.